We're going to start. We started Mandaladam Udbed by the Mishnah in the New Perek by Egla Rufa. Earlier on, the Gemara mentioned that there are a number of processes or items that have to be done by Lashon HaKodesh. And Egla Rufa is one of those items that the Mishnah mentioned that must be done by Lashon HaKodesh. So now the Mishnah here continues and enumerates or the details out on Egla Rufa. It says Egla Rufa by Lashon HaKodesh. And now, Egla Rufa, once it was done by Lashon HaKodesh, the Mishnah is missing the limud for that. The Mishnah continues on with what seems to be an unrelated item, and the Gemara is going to ask, why is that, that it continued with an unrelated item? Shenemar, ki matzei chalal ba'adama, v'yatsu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. So now, the Mishnah says, what does it mean, v'yatsu zekeinecha v'shoftecha? Shlosha mi beitin ha-gadol. You have to have three people that come from the Beit Din ha-gadol shvi Yerushalayim in order to measure how far the cadaver is from the closest city. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha. He says that you need five from Beis Din HaGadol to come out. Shibir Yerushalayim. Shnemer Zikeinecha, which is in the plural, which is Shnaim. Shoftecha is plural also, is Shnaim. So you have four. Vein Beis Din Shoko, and you can't have an even Beis Din, so that gets you to five. Mosifin Alem Odechad, in order that you won't have a Beis Din Shoko. Now, the Mishnah, there's some more limudim with regards to Egla Rufa. The Gemara itself is going to go back and dissect the Mishnah and take apart each of these limudim. Now it says, Nimtza Tamun Bagal, if the chalal, if this body was found underneath a pile of rocks, O Talui B'ilan, or hanging from a tree, O Tzaf Al Pnei Amayim, or floating on the water, Lo Yerufim, they didn't bring an Egla Rufa for any of these items. Shneamar Ba'adama, it says, Ki Matzei Chalal Ba'adama, Ba'adama Velo Tamun Bagal, in the ground or on the ground and not below a pile of rocks. Nofel, that the body was felled on the ground, velo talui beyilan, and not hanging from a tree, basadeh velo tzafo pneamayim, in a field and not floating on the water. Nimtza samuch l'sapar, if it was found by the border, o le'ir sh'ruba v'dechamim, or a city that is majority is non-Jews, o le'ir sh'ein ba beis din, or close to a city that does not have a beis din, lo hayu orfin, they did not bring a egla arufa. The Mishnah concludes with the last statement in the Mishnah, which is, Ein modedim el ir sheish ba beis din. You only measure to a city that has a beis din. Now, obviously, if you don't measure to a city that does not have a beis din, then you have to measure to a city that does have a beis din. The Gemara will discuss why the Mishnah has this, what seems to be inconsistency at the end. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question, my kamar. The beginning of the Mishnah began with Egla Rufa b'lashon HaKodesh, and then it went a segue into something that was totally different. The Gemara says, "Amar Rebbeinu Kamash Nimer Vanu VaAmru, Olalanu Ner Anu Alviim VaAmru." So by Egla Rufa it says Anu VaAmru, and we also know by Har Grizim and Har Eval it says Vanu VaAmru. So we're going to have a limud or a gzeir shava from Har Grizim and Har Eval, the brachot and klalot, and we know that the brachot and klalot by Har Grizim and Har Eval have to be Lashon HaKodesh. Mani Amru Alahalam Lashon HaKodesh, just like by Har Grizim and Har Eval, it must be done Lashon HaKodesh, Avkan B'Lashon HaKodesh. So too over here, by Egla Rufa, it has to be done B'Lashon HaKodesh. Then, the next part of the Mishnah is to say the Egla Rufa Ketzet. How is an Egla Rufa done? And that's the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is missing the Limud for Lashon HaKodesh. And then what we do have in the Mishnah is exact what does transpire when you have an Egla Rufa. And that's the next section. The next thing that happens after you know that you have a cadaver that's found is that Beis Din HaGadol Shvi Yerushalayim has to send down representatives in order to measure the distance that this cadaver is from the nearest city with a Beis Din. So say there, Glarufa Ketzik, Yimatei Chalaba, Adamam Yitzuzik, Kenech Vashoftecha, Shlosha, Mi Beis Din HaGadol Shvi Yerushalayim Ayotzim. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the machlokus between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Kama said you need three from Beis Din HaGadol, and Rabbi Yehuda said you need five. Tan Rabbanu, v'yatzu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. Zekeinecha shnayim, zekeinecha is in plural, that's two. V'shoftecha shnayim, which is plural, is two. V'ein beis din shaku, mosif lein odechad, you get one more. Harikan chamisha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the position of Rabbi Yehuda, the same position that we saw in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zekeinecha shnayim, v'ein beis din shaku. The only limud he has is from the word zekeinecha, which is two. Then he says you can't have a Beis Din Shakul, and based on that, Mosifin Alem Odechad Arikan Shlosha. If you add an additional one, then you have three. So that's how you get Rabbi Shimon's opinion of three, who's the Tanakam in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda has five in our Mishnah. Now, what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with the word Vishoftecha? I mean, that he has the word Zekeinecha, which he uses for two, but what does he do with the word Shoftecha? Rabbi Shimon Ainami Aktiv Vishoftecha. What is he going to do with the word Shoftecha? I'll be by the way, them Yuchadim. Shibishoftecha. Those that are unique among your Shoftecha, what does it mean unique? They have to come from the Beis Din HaGadol Shibi Yerushalayim. The requirement is that there can't be any just Beis Din. It has to be specifically from the Beis Din in Yerushalayim. Now, where does Rabbi Yehuda know that? Rabbi Yehuda requires five, but how do he know that it has to come from the Beis Din HaGadol Shibi Yerushalayim? He knows that from Ziknei and Zikeinecha, right? From the fact that it has, it could have written Ziknei, and the fact that it writes Zikeinecha means the Miyuchadim Shibi Zikeinim, those that are unique among the Zikeinim. Rabbi Shimon, Ika Tov Rachman HaZiknei, had it just written Ziknei, Hava Mina Fil Ziknei Ashuk. Ziknei means any old person, any guy off the street that's old. You can get him out of the, out of the marketplace. Ka Tov Rachman HaZikeinecha, what is Zikeinecha? Zikeinecha means that those are specific Zikeinim that are Ra'ui from Beis Din. Ika Tov Rachman HaZikeinecha, had it just written Zikeinecha, Hava Mina Fil Sandre Kintana. You could take him from any Beis Din. Any person from a Beis Din would be sufficient. Kadav Rachman of Shoftecha, so that's the additional word of Shoftecha, the Miyuchadim, Shibot Shoftecha. So that explains the limud of Rabbi Shimon. You have Ziknei, which teaches you that you have two, but it doesn't teach you what type of Zikanim. Zikanecha teaches you they must be from Beis Din, and Shoftecha teaches you it can't be from any Beis Din, but specifically must be from the Beis Din HaGadol, Shibi Yerushalayim. Now, Rabbi Huda, Gamar, Ziknei Haida. Rabbi Huda actually learns this out from a Gzera Shava of Ziknei. The Ziknei found here in our case of Egla Rufa, if it hadn't written Zikenecha, it would have written Ziknei. There's also Ziknei by the Par Helam Dover Tzibur. That's when the Tzibur makes a big mistake, that they're chayiv to bring a korban for something that it's chiyuv shogeg, right, brings a chatos, and b'meze brings a kares. If the whole Tzibur, based on the Pesach of Beze, makes a mistake, then Ziknei they have to bring, and it says there that v'samchu, Yedehem, right? That the Ziknei Adav, Samchu Ziknei Adav, Yedehem al Rosh HaPar. That the Ziknei Adav have to place their hands on the Rosh HaPar. Mal Halan Miyuchodim Shveida. Who are the people that bring the Par Helam, the Aver Shibetzibur? That is Beis Din HaGadol. Avkan Miyuchodim Shveida. So too over here, that it's the Beis Din HaGadol that must be the ones that bring it. Mar says, He Gamar Lagamar Lakula Milsum. If you're already going to learn from Par Helam Davar Tzibur, we know that Rabbi Huda's opinion by Parham David Tzibur is that you only require five. So if you're already going to learn out that you need Beis Din HaGadol from Parham David Tzibur, learn out five also. What do you need any of these limudim over here for? Mehatam Zekeinech v'shoftecha l'amali. What do you need any psukim here by Egla Rufa for? Ella, it can't be. It can't be that Rabbi Huda learns it out from Parham David Tzibur. Ella, he learns it out from the extra vav of shoftecha. V'shoftecha l'minyana. That comes to teach you. Basically now, Rabbi Huda is going to learn the lima just exactly like Rabbi Shimon learns it. Ziknei means two. Zikeinecha teaches you that they can't just be any two Zikeinim, they must be two from Beis Din. Shoftecha teaches you that they have to be from Beis Din HaGadol. So now he only has two, like Rabbi Shimon. How does he get to an additional two? That's the Vav Amosif, Vav, Vishoftecha. So that Vav gets you an additional two for Rabbi Huda. Now you have four. Four with a Beis Din Shokul, you can't have even Beis Din, you get five with him. So Vav, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? Rabbi Shimon, Vav lo mashmalei. He doesn't have any limud from the Vav. He doesn't think that the Vav teaches you anything. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon is left with three, and Rabbi Huda has five. Now the Gemara continues. Well, if you're already learning out from the plural words here, from Zekeinecha Shoftecha, what about the fact that it says, Ve'yatsu Zekeinecha Shoftecha Umadidu? You have Yatsu and Madidu are also plural words. So why don't we say, Ve'yatsu Shnaim and Madidu Shnaim? So according to Rabbi Huda, Arikan Tisha, if you add additional four people, you end up with nine. Rabbi Shimon, Arikan Shiva, and if from Shimon has three, if you add additional four, you're going to end up with seven. Mar says, no, the Yatsu Mamadudu we need for other limudim. Hami Bailei Katanyo, we have a brisa, V'yotsu, Hain V'lo Shluchehem. That the Beis Din HaGadol, they must come themselves, and they cannot send representatives to do it on their behalf. Umadudu, Shafil Nimtza Ba'alil Ir, even if it's found in an obvious place, where we know which one is the closest city, how you mow the dim, you still have to measure it. So despite the fact that it's obvious where the, mace is found and which city it's closest to, they still have to do the medidash, mitzvah, lasok medidah. So the fact that we use the yatsu, madidu, for other limudim does not leave them available to add on additional people to the count for how many Beis Din HaGadol have to come down. So in the end, we have Rabbi Shimon, who's of the opinion of three, Rabbi Huda, the opinion of five, and Yatsu v'madudu. Yatsu means they must come themselves, and madudu means they must measure, even if it's obvious which is the closest city. Now the Gemara is going to bring a third opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Gemara says, Masnisin delok Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, Zikeinecha zu Sanhedrin. Zikeinecha means the Sanhedrin. Shoftecha ze melech v'kohen gadol. Who's the shofeder? Who are the shoftecha? That is a king and the Kohen Gadol. Melech, how do we know that the word shofet or lishpot has relevance by a king and a Kohen Gadol? It says, Melech dichtiv melech v'mishpat yamid aretz, or eretz, that the king, through judgment, is mamid eretz. So you see the association between melech and mishpat. Kohen Gadol dichtiv v'atayla kohenim alviyim ela shofet asher yabim amim hazeh, bayamim ahim. So that you have to come to the Kohanim Levim, who be the Shoftim, who be the ones who are ruling or teach the Torah in that day. So you see the juxtaposition again of Melech and Mishpat and Kohanim and Mishpat. So what's obvious is that Rabbi Elazar Yaakov requires a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. Zikeinecha, he requires a Sanhedrin. How many from the Sanhedrin does he require? That's not obvious. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask here. Yibailuhu. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, Melech and Kohen Gadol, who de Polik? He argues that you also need a melech and a kohen gadol. Alba Sanhedrin, Iker Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. By the Sanhedrin, he only requires either five or three, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Severely. Oh, Dilma of a Sanhedrin, Nami Polik. Or maybe he disagrees against the Sanhedrin. Although Adika Kula Sanhedrin. When he says Zikenecha means Sanhedrecha, he means the entire Sanhedrin must show up. So Amar Rav Yosef. So Makolik between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Whether we can prove that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires the entire Sanhedrin to show up. Tashma. So this is talking about a case of a Zaken Mamre. A Zaken Mamre is a shofet who argues and has a disagreement about a halacha. He goes up to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim and he continues to argue with the Beis Din HaGadol should be Yerushalayim. In the end, the Beis Din HaGadol Yerushalayim gives a psak. And then if the Zaken Mamre after that goes out and still continues paskin against the Beis Din HaGadol, he's considered a Zaken Mamre, and he gets the death penalty. Now, the Gemara says, Matzan Zaken Mamre Abe Page. If the Zaken Mamre finds the Beis Din HaGadol outside of, not in the, where they sit in Lishkas HaGazit in Yerushalayim, but on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, they find them on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Vehim Ralehem. And he continues, he gets a psak from them, and then he rejects that psak and continues paskin against them. Yokote Amrato Hamra'a, you would think, would this qualify him to be a Zaken Mamre? Tamalomar Vikamta Valita Lamakom. That you have to go up. With regards to a Zaken Mamre, it says you must go up to the place. Malame Shamakom Goreim. That it's only the place. Only when the Sanhedrin is sitting in the Lishka Sagazit does a psak from them determine for a Zaken Mamre. So you can only become a Zaken Mamre if he gets a psak in the Sanhedrin Agadol in the Lishka Sagazit. And then he rejects that psak and still paskins against him. So now the Gemara says, enough of Kamo. Now that the Gemara had a Havamina here that a Zake Mamre might be problematic if he met them outside of Yerushalayim. How many of the Beis Din went out to the outskirts of Yerushalayim? When he bumped into the outskirts of Yerushalayim, how many from the Beis Din HaGadol did he bilim? Ilaim at the Nafuk Miktasam, if he only bumped into a portion of the Beis Din HaGadol, Dilmaharach Dika Gavai Kavate Sphir Lahu. How can we call him a Zaken Mamre? Maybe those that are still remaining inside, who are in the Lishkas Gazit, they consider him to, you know, they would agree with his position. And then he won't be a Zaken Mamre, because they would agree with his position. El Pshita must be the Nafek Kulu, that they all went out. The entire Beis Din was found on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Ulamai, what was the entire Beis Din doing outside of Yerushalayim? Ila Dvar Arishus, if it's for personal reasons that the Beis Din HaGadol left, or for things that are not mitzvah, mi matzanafke, is there such a case? V'aktiv, we have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. There it says, Sharareich agana sara ayach sar hamazik. So the literal meaning of the pasuk is, Sharareich is your umbilicus, meaning your belly button. Right? Agana sohar is like a moon-shaped basin. Right? Ayach sar hamazik. There will be no lack of wine flowing. That's the little meaning of the pasuk. Now, the Gemara makes a play on this. What's sharareich, meaning the umbilical, means tibor? And what do you know about tibor? Tibor is a center, something that's a center. And that's what Rashi points out here. What is zeh Sanhedrin save it, but tiboro shel Eretz Yisrael? This time at the Sanhedrin that sits at the center of Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael is, right, tiboro shel olam. And Yerushalayim is Tiboro Shel Eretz Yisrael. And so the Sanhedrin is sitting in the center of Yerushalayim. So the Sanhedrin that sits in a moon-shaped, right, basin, meaning that they sat in a semicircle. That's how the Beis Din sat, right? Al yechsar hamozik. They should have no less than a mozik. What's a mozik? Mozik is limzog. Limzog yayin means to dilute the wine. So we're talking about dilution of wine here. We're talking about two portions of water, one portion of wine. So there can be no less than one-third of the Beis Din left in the Beis Din Agadol in the Lishkas Hagazit. No matter how many of them go out, there must always be a third left, which would be 23. There always must be 23 of them there. So im nitzrach echad mehem latzeit, if one of the Beis Din Agadol has to go out, im yesham esrim v'shlosha keneged Sanhedrin ketana, as long as there are 23 that remain, the equivalent of a small Sanhedrin, yotzei, then this person can leave. Vim lav, and yotzei, otherwise you can't leave. Meaning that there's a minimum amount of people that must be in the Lishkat Hagazit, and that is 23. You can't go below that number of 23. So if that's the case, it couldn't be that the entire Beis Din went out to the outskirts of Yerushalayim because they're not allowed to leave. So Ela Pshita L'Dvar Mitzvah. The only way they could go out is for a Dvar Mitzvah. Lamai, what possible mitzvah could they be going out to the outskirts of Yerushalayim? Lav L'Midat Egla. Must be they're going out to measure an Egla Rufa. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it's like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So based on this, Rav Yosef wants to say, this is a proof, that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, when he says Zikeinecha means the Sanhedrecha, means the entire Sanhedrin. Because that's the only way you can come up with a case where the entire Sanhedrin would go out of the Lishkat HaGazit. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, why do you have to say that? Lo, Dilma LaHosif Al Yir V'Azarot. There's another time that the Beis Din HaGadol needs to go out the entire Beis Din. What's that? To expand the city of Yerushalayim. Whenever they want to expand the Azara or the city of Yerushalayim, they need the entire Beis Din HaGadol to be there to expand the city. Because we have a Ketanan, we have a Mishnah. Emo Sifin Al Yir V'Azarot Al Beis Din Shal Shivim Echad. You need the entire Sanhedrin HaGadol to do that. The Mar continues, Tanya Kaveh Sidur Rabbi Yosef. We have a Brisa that supports the position of Rabbi Yosef, that the reason that the entire Beis Din had left over here was to go out to deal with an Egla Rufa. What's that? Matzana Beit Pagei. If the Zakeh Mamre finds them on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, Vihim Ralehem, and he rebels against them. Kigon. What were they doing on the outskirts of Yerushalayim? Kigon Shiyotsu Lemitidat Egla. They went out to measure an Egla Rufa, Olohosi Falir, or to add on to the city. Falazarot. Yochol Te Amra To Amra, Tamalover, Kam Te Lita Malamecha Makom Goreim. So the Braisa basically says openly, just like Rav Yosef, that one of the reasons that the entire Sanhedrin would leave is for an Egla Arufa. And if the entire Sanhedrin left for an Egla Arufa, that can only be according to whom? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because Rabbi Shimon thinks you only need 3. Rabbi Yehuda thinks you need 5. So it must be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when he says, the Kenecha means Sanhedrecha, he means the entire Sanhedrin must go out. So now we have a 3-way machlokas with regards to how much of the Sanhedrin must go out for Egla Arufa. Rabbi Shimon, 3. Rabbi Yehuda, 5. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, 71. But in addition to the 71, you also need the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. So this was a big event, this Egla Rufa, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He had the entire ruling elite of Klal Yisrael had to come out to perform to measure the Egla Arufa. Right, I will deal with Ashkafically what it means tomorrow. There's a Mishnah tomorrow that deals with the Ashkaf of Egla Rufa. So I'll talk more about that tomorrow, Machlokas, the Rambam, the Ramban, and Rashi, how they view the issue of Egla Rufa. So I won't discuss it now, but we'll discuss it tomorrow. All right. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Nimtza Tamun Begal Otoli Beilan. If he found him buried under a pile of rocks or hanging from a tree. So Gemara says, Lema Masnisan Rabbi Yehudi Velo Rabbonon. Let's say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehudi, not the Rabbonon. The Tanya, we have a Braisa by Shichas HaOmer. Right, Shechas HaOmer is when you're cutting in the field and you leave stuff behind, you forget behind piles in the field, you're not allowed to go back for them, you have to leave them there for the Aniyim. That's one of the matanot, Aniyim is Shechcha. So now it says the Shechachta, it says, ki tiksur, ki tzircha besadcha, Shechachta Omer basadeh. So you leave something behind. So what does it mean with Shechachta Omer basadeh? Prat litamun. So you say what? That excludes something that is buried. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what? The word basadeh by Omer is also comes to exclude tamun. Just like over here, ki metzaleh halal basadeh, by Egla Rufa, also the word basadeh means excludes tamun. Right? V'chamimim basadeh l'rabotet tamun. The word basadeh includes tamun. So the Gemara's assumption now is that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Because we find Rabbi Yehuda by Shechacha says the word basadeh excludes tamun. So too, the word Shechacha by Egla Rufa also excludes tamun. So the author of our Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. Samarav, afilu teim rabbanon. Even the rabbanon can reconcile with our Mishnah, and that is hacham inyane dekra, hatam inyane dekra. You have to look at the context of the pasuk. The chamim are learning based on the context. Dichtiv by egla arufa it says ki matzei chalal hecha demishtakach. That when it says ki matzei chalal, it sounds like anywhere you find it, no matter where you find it, that would be considered a chalal. Ba'adama, when it comes to adama, prat l'tamun. So when you have a word, the word is extraneous. Without this word, I would have thought anything is included. So already, if I'm going to bring in the word adama, I'm going to use it as an exclusionary term. So adama means excluding tamut. When we're talking about shichcha, also we're looking at context. Dichtiv ki tiktzor kitzorcha v'sadecha v'shachachta omer. Shichcha dumya dekatzir. We're going to learn shichcha is similar to harvesting. Makatzir begaloi av shichcha begaloi. We have a hekesh or a smichus between katzir and shichcha. So just like katzir is only in the open, so too shichcha is only for stuff in the open. So there now, when I have an extraneous word of katzav rachmana basadeh, the word sadeh must lirabot, must be coming to include things, not exclude things. Rabot et tatamun, to include that which is hidden. So Rabbanan used the term basadeh or badama to be exclusionary or inclusionary, depending on what the general principle was in that halacha. By Egla Rufa, the general principle is everything's included. So if I have an extra word, it must come as an exclusion. Whereas by Shichcha, the general principle is only that which is galoi. That is limited. So then if I have an extra word, the word's going to come to be a riboy and not a mute. So now the Gemara says, L'Rabbi Yehuda, nami tipklei m'shichcha, tumi adekatsir. Why does Rabbi Yehuda need to use the word basadet included? He can have that lima that the Chamin just said, that Shichcha domina katsir, right? That just like katsir is begaloi, shichcha also should be galoi. So Gemara says enochanami. That's what Rabbi Yehuda uses. That's how he knows, or he includes that tamun is excluded from shichcha. Velo basadeh. What is he going to do with the word sadeh now? If he doesn't need to include to exclude tamun, what is he going to do with that? Lamali. Vayle l'rabo shichcha kama. Come to teach you that if you forget to harvest a portion of your field, you haven't harvested yet. Shichcha is typically you have harvested and you put it into a pile. Once you put it into a pile, then you forget that pile in the field. Here is you forgot to even harvest this section of the field. How do we know that's considered shichcha? That he says, bisadeh. That we learn out from the word bisadeh. Rabban shichchat kamam in aluhu. Well, the Rabbanan already used the word shisadeh to include tamun. Where do they know shichcha's kama from? So they napahu mikhi tiksor kirtircha bisadecha vishachachta. So it says what? Bisadecha vishachachta. So what is in your field you forgot? What does it mean that what you're going to harvest in your field you forgot? That stuff that is still standing. Rabbi Yehuda mi bailek Rabbi Bo. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word bisadecha vishachachta? That's michus. He needs it for Rabbi Bo. Damar Rabbi Lazer. Damar Rabbi Bo. Damar Rabbi Lazer. Prat. Vishatzafu omrim letoch stei chavero. This comes to exclude the fact that what happens if you have piles in your field, and then the wind came along and blew the piles into your friend's field. And then you forget about those piles. Is your forgetting about those piles considered shichcha? So that where it says, no, that's not considered shichcha. Why? Because it's not bisadecha. It's not in your field. It has to be bisadecha b'shachachta. You forget it in your field, not that you're forgetting it in someone else's field. Rabbanon, they learned it out from bisadeh, bisadecha. Could have just written bisadeh. What does it mean, bisadecha, in yours? The possessive form, from you to besadeh, besadecha, lo mashmalei. He doesn't think that the sadeh, sadecha is worthy of a limud. So now, based on this, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon with regards to Omer, by shichcha. By shichcha, the Rabbanon believe that even tamun is considered shichcha, but Rabbi Yehuda believes that tamun is not considered shichcha. The Gemara tried to entertain the possibility that Rabbi Yehuda would be the author of a Mishnah, and just like he thinks tamun is excluded by Shichcha, it also be excluded by our Mishnah of Egla Rufa. The Gemara rejects it and says, no, even the Chachamim can believe differently by Egla Rufa than they do by Shichcha. And then the Gemara went through a number of Limudim to differentiate what's the Limudim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They both believe that Shichcha is Kama. If you forget stuff that's still standing in the field, that is considered Shichcha. And they also both believe that if you forget something in your friend's field, I mean, some of your stuff blew over to your friend's field, that is not considered shichcha. They just learn it from different limudim, because the chachamim used the word bisadeh to include tamun, so therefore they have to learn it out from bisadeh bishachachta and bisadeh bisadcha. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't learn Besadeh Besadcha, so he learns out Besadeh to teach you about Shichas Kama. Besadcha teaches you, B'Shachachta teaches only in your field is it considered Shecha, but not in your friend's field. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah has a question. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. Tzofu omrim l'toch sadehu mahu. If your stuff, your piles in your field were floating, meaning they're in the airspace, what's the meaning that they're no longer sitting on the ground? They're sitting on something else. If they're sitting on something else, what is the din here? What actually transpired here? Like, how did this actually happen? It sounds like this person was on their way out. They picked up their stuff. They were about to leave their field. And then they placed it down on something on their way out. But they didn't place it back on the ground. So, Mo, Avir Sadeh Kesadeh Dami, Olav Kesadeh Dami. When it's in the airspace of the field, is that considered like your field and qualify for Shechacha? Or no, it has to actually be touching the ground. So, Amalei Rav Kahana, the Rav Papi, Vamri Lo Rav Kahana, the Rav Zvit, Tishut Lemi, the Rav Boam, Rav Elazar. We can learn it out from the case of Rav Elazar, Damar Prat, the Shetzafu, Amin Latoch, Stei Chaveiro. Right? That what is the exclusion over there? The exclusion is when it's floating in your friend's field. But what? If it's floating in your field, right, then they didn't mention that at all. That could have been the exclusion. The fact that they only mentioned in your friend's field means what? That it's only your friend's field and not your field. The chaveiro in, the toksadeo, lo, but in your field, no. Gemara says, according to your reasoning, the toksadeo chaveiro tzofu in, munachim lo. If it blows into your friend's field, it has to still be floating in the air. I mean, it's sitting on a rock or not hitting the ground. What happens if it blows into your friend's field and lands on the ground there? You're going to say that's not, that is shechacha? No way. Fabina on pesadcha. That's to be in your field, velekon. That's not the case here. It's clear that even if it goes into your friend's field, even if it's playing on the ground. Behind the kamar tzafu, what does it mean? Floating? That's the hechitimsa to get it into your friend's field. How do you get an omer from your field to your friend's field? The wind comes and blows it. That's what the tzafu is. Tzafu is not coming to teach you anything about airspace. It's just telling you what's the case here of getting it into your friend's field. You got it into your friend's field because the wind blew it into your friend's field, and we can't learn any halachic conclusions from this. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring another proof. Tashma. Omer shehichzik bo laholi kol le'ir. Here he picked up a pile of his grain, and he was about to take it into the city to sell it. Benichu agabe chaveiro. And then he didn't make it out of his field, and he plopped it down on top of another pile that he had. He had another pile of grain, and he was carrying this pile of grain out, and then he changes his mind, or he stops. He gets stopped for some reason. He plops it down on top of this other pile. Vishechachu, he forgets them both. Hatachton shechacha, velyon eno shechacha. The top one is not shechacha, but the one underneath is considered shechacha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yudah omer mishum Rabbi Shimon shnehem enon shechacha. They're both not shechacha. Hatachton mipnei shehu tamun. The bottom one is not shechacha because it's buried. And we said before that Rabbi Yudah believes, right, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Tamun is excluded from Shechacha. So since it's buried, it's covered by something else, that's not Shechacha. Elyon, why is the top one not Shechacha? Mimpneishu, who? Tzaf. It's floating on the top. So what do you see from this? That even when it's in your airspace, that is not considered Sadecha, and that would not be considered, right, Shechacha. So here you have a proof to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, that when it's in your airspace, that's not Sadecha. Because that's considered tzaf, and the elyon is not. So that's what Gemara says. Adlan kom pligi ela betachton. The machlokes between the Tana Kamar Reb Shimon Bar Yehuda is only about the bottom one, whether it's considered shechacha. Avil elyon divrei hakol lo shechacha. Right? Everybody believes that the top one is not shechacha. So Gemara says, if that's the case, then the top one is in the airspace, and that'll be the answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. That what? That anything that's not touching the ground is not shechacha. Gemara says, no. Shiny Hassam, it's a different over there. Cave into Echzik Bay, Zachi Bay. Once he began to carry out of his field, it became his. And then Shechacha does not apply anymore. Shechacha only applies when you forgot it. You never got it. You were never engaged with the pile. Over here, you already start to carry the pile out. So if that's the case, why did he have to place it on top of the other pile? Even if he put it down on the ground again, it wouldn't be Shechacha because he already started to carry it out. I feel him a sudden Nami. So where it says Eino Chanami, Gabi Chaveru Mishum Tachton. The one that plays on top of the other pile is to teach you the halacha about the bottom pile. But what are you going to do? The Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, why is the Elyon not Shechacha? Because it's floating. According to us, it has nothing to do with floating. It has to do with the fact that what? That you carried it out of the field. Right? So, Ema Mipnei Shehu Kitzaf. It's like it's floating. What does that mean, it's like it's floating? Even if it's like it's floating, that still would be an answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, what does it mean, Kitzaf? Rashi says, Shu patur al shehechzik bo, ki ilu haya udenu tzaf mi ala karko munach biyado. It's as if he's still carrying it. What does it mean, Shu Kitzaf? Not that it's floating, but once you picked it up, it's considered after you're still carrying it forever. I mean, there's no such thing as shechcha anymore. It's as if you're carrying it forever. Not that this is a didn't tzaf, that it's in the airspace of the field, but tzaf means that it's as if you're carrying it continuously. If you're carrying it continuously, there is no shechcha over here. So again, we rejected this as a proof to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. So Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is left inconclusive here. We tried to bring two proofs to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question that when you have a shechcha in your airspace and not in your field, is that considered shechcha? So we tried to bring one proof from the machlokas, right, that we, above that we had, Amar Abelazar, that the case where it flew into your friend's field, try to bring a proof from that. The Gemara rejects that proof. Then we try to bring a second proof from a machlokas about shechcha here on top and bottom piles. The Gemara rejected that as well. So now we have no proof to this. We have no conclusion to this sugya. Now we go on to Amar Abai. I'm like Ben Azai and Shukei Tevera. Ben Azai was set out in the Shuk, and basically he was like, ask the rabbi questions, right? He set out, anybody who wanted to come by could ask him anything, and he would be able to answer it. So Abai felt he was on a roll one day. He felt like he had the force was with him one day, and because of that, he says, I'm like Ben Azai and Shukei Tevera, you can ask me anything. Amalei helmi derabbanan Abai, so somebody asked him a question. If you have two cadavers laying on top of each other, where do you measure from for Egla Rufa? Min bemino have tamun. Is min bemino, when you have two cadavers, is that considered as if the lower body is buried? Min bemino lo have tamun. Min bemino lo have tzaf. But the upper body is not considered as if it's not on the ground, because it's considered still on the ground. And therefore you would measure from the upper body. Right, that when you have one body sitting on top of the other body, that's not sitting on the adama. So the top body you can't measure from. But when you're buried under another body, that's not considered buried because it's min bimino. And you measure from the lower body. The min bimino is both separates you from adama and separates you from what? It's tamun and tzaf, and therefore neither of these bodies would qualify for egla rufa. V'lo mitachta modeit, v'lo mi'olya modeit. So Abai has to answer them back. Amalei tinitua. We have a Mishnah that explains this. Now again, what the Mishnah explains is only one of the two items here. Right? He says, I can explain to you tamun, that's a machlokas in the Mishnah. He doesn't have an answer for tzaf. That we already had. The Gemara was inconclusive with regards to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, I didn't have an answer with regards to tzaf, whether tzaf means, right, airspace or directly on the ground. That was inconclusive. Abai does say now he's going to try to present an answer, at least for tamun. What's the din of two cadavers laying on top of each other when it comes to tamun? Omer, shehiksik bala lichol yir, v'nichol agabe chavero v'shachcho. Person takes a pile, he's carrying it out of his field, and he plops it down on top of another pile before he leaves, and then he forgets them. Hatachton shechcha ve'elyon eino shechcha. The bottom one is shechcha, but the top one is not shechcha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer, mishum Rabbi Shimon, shnehem ein shechcha. They're both not shechcha. Hatachton b'nei shetamun, the bottom one because it's tamun, ve'elyon b'nei shetzaf. Savra. So Abai wanted to present the position that what? That this is the hani tnai ki Rabbi Yehuda sfirlei. They both paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion earlier on? That there is no shechcha by tamun. If you have something that is buried, then there is no shechcha by that. Damar b'sadeh prat l'tamun, because he uses the word sadeh to exclude tamun. Even though the Gemara changed his limud later on, nevertheless, the basic position of Rabbi Yehuda is that there is no shechcha by tamun. My love, v'hakim iflegei. And what's the machlokas in our Mishnah over here? Damar sover min b'mini hab l'tamun, omar sover loya tamun. What's the machlokas here, whether the bottom one is shechcha or not? The machlokas is whether the bottom one is considered tamun. Everybody agrees if it is tamun, it's not shechcha. But is it tamun? That'll be a machlokas in min bimino. He put grain on top of grain. So is the bottom grain considered tamun because he has grain sitting on top of it or not? And that's a machlokas between, right, the machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana Kama. That, based on that, that'll be an answer to this person's question by the cadavers. Is min bimino considered tamun or not? Will we depend on this machlokas whether grain on top of grain is considered tamun or not? Gemara says, lo. Right, so Gemara says, rejects it. Lo. Ikar Rabbi Yehuda sfirle, the kuliyama min bimino abatamun. If everybody agreed to Rabbi Yehuda's position that tamun is not shichcha, everybody would agree min bimino is tamun. Vacha bepukted Rabbi Yehuda rabbanan kamiflege. They're arguing in the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Rabbanan whether their tamun has shichcha or not. The rabbanan ki rabbanan, the Tana Kama here by shichcha is going to say, like the Rabbanan by Egla Rufat that says what? That min bimino it tamun, I'm sorry, by shichcha, that tamun does qualify for shichcha. Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says tamun is not shichcha. Smart says, Iachi ma'iri al gabe chavero, afilu ba'afar b'tzror, nami. Why would you make the case here a case of min bimino? If min bimino is irrelevant to the case, why are we making the case that he plopped one pile of wheat on top of another pile of wheat? Meaning that he could have had it buried under rocks, buried under dirt. The whole machlokas is about whether there's tamun or not tamun here. Is tamun by shichcha qualify for shichcha or not? There's no relevance that it's another pile of wheat on top. So Gemara says, no, that the reason is, ain't ochanami, you're right. But odicha kochu de Rabbi Yehuda, damar afil b'mimimino avi tamun. This is going to teach you the position or the strength of Rabbi Yehuda's position that even b'min b'mino, he holds that it's considered tamun, and there is no shichcha over here. So again, based on this, there are two possibilities. Abai is saying, according to this, the answer is going to be that either, according to the second way the Gemara learns, min mimino for sure is tamun. Right? That's one possibility. Or the first possibility, which Shaul was asking about before, is that min mimino will be a machlokas tanaim, and one position would be min mimino is tamun, and one position would be min mimino is eno tamun. All right, so that's what Abai said back to him. That's the answer to your question about Tuchlalaim by Egla Rufa is going to be dependent on this sugya in Shichcha. All right, now, Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to continue with Limudim with regards to Egla Rufa. Chlal velo chanuk. It has to be someone who's killed. Chlal means killed by a metallic object. He has to be killed by a metallic object and not choked. Chlal velo mitparpar. We have to be dead. He has to be a cadaver and not flopping around still. Be'adama velo tamun begal. It has to be in the ground and not buried under a pile. No fell. He has to be fallen on the ground. Velo talui bilan and hanging from a tree. Basadeh in the field. Velo tzaf al pnei amayim. So these are all words that are used by Egla Rufa. Chlau, adama, no fell, and sadeh. And from each of these, we exclude certain types of cadavers or dead bodies that are not going to be considered for Egla Rufa. Then no matter what the circumstance which the body is found, if it's a chlal, if it was killed by a metallic object, no matter what, then they bring a Egla Rufa. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yosef Reyuda, I'm Lola Rabbi Lezi, Yatamode Shimai Chanuk Umutal Bashpa. If you found a body that was choked, strangled, and thrown in the garbage, Shein Orfin, right? So that you don't, there you don't have an Egla Rufa. Alma chlal velo chanuk. It must be that you learn the limud of chlal that it has to be a killed by a metallic object, not choked. Hachanami. So why don't you learn by the other words? Ba'adama velo tamun begal velo tamun begal no fel velo tamun lilan besadev velo tzafal gabe amayim. How come you only learn by chlal and not by others? Gemara says velazer chlal yeteri k'tiv. The word chlal actually appears in the parsha four times. So the word he learns out from the extra word chlal. That as long as it's a halal, it overcomes any of the other objections. So Rashi doesn't learn like this. I would have said that the appears halal appears four times. First one's halal v'chanuk, and then you have these three other words. You have adama, nofel, and sadeh. So each one of the additional words halal will say, even if it's found in these circumstances, if it's a halal, it's still an egla rufa. That's why I would have learned. Rashi learns over here. It's a strange Rashi. He says, v'od halalim tuva l'midrash halal dafka v'lochanuk. I have many words chalal to teach me. One chalal to teach me if it's a chalal, it's an egla rufa. An extra word of chalal teaches me also that chalal velo chanuk. He doesn't address the fact that there are the other two other words of chalal. What does he do with them? Rashi doesn't address that. He just says there are many words chalal, and I'll use one of them to teach me chalal velo chanuk. All right. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what we said in the Mishnah. Nimsa samuch l'sapar, or the ir sheruba of the chamiv. If the body is found by the border or near a city of non-Jews, then you do not have an egla rufa for it. Dichtiv, ki matzei, that it's circumstance. It's something that's happenstance, prat l'matzui, something that's commonplace. Commonplace is by the border. People get killed by the border, or they get killed when they go by cities of non-Jews. Oh, the ir shein ba beis din, dibeinan ziknei ir v'leka. You need that the ziknei ir come to be to take care of the egla rufa, to do the process of the egla rufa, and if you don't have a beis din, you don't have ziknei ir. Ein modedin el ir pshita. Of course, you don't measure to a city that doesn't have a beis din because you need a beis din. Came in time the ir shein ba beis din ani adana dein modedin el ir sheish ba beis din. If you know that you don't measure to a city that doesn't have a beis din, of course I measure to a city that does have a beis din. Hakamash Milan, that comes to teach you, Kitatanya, we have a brisa. Binayim shim nimtza samach le'ir she'ein ba beis din. If your body is found by a city that does not have a beis din, sheminichin ota, umodidin le'ir she'esh ba beis din, that you continue to count, you measure to the closest city with a beis din. Tamalomar, v'lachu ziknei ha'ir ahi mikol makom. Doesn't matter, meaning that it's irrespective of where the city is. Even if it's not the closest city, as long as it's the city with a beis din in it that's closest, that will be the city that's qualified for egla aruf over here. Now the question is why? In general, we say that the problem with the zikanim, we're going to see this in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah, probably we'll get to this Mishnah tomorrow, it's the fact that the zikanim didn't, for some reason, didn't take care of this individual, that we say that we associate this dead body or this murderer here with the city. But if this city of beis din is so far away, why would we associate it with that city with the beis din? So I think the answer, I think what you must say over here, is that when you have a city with a beis din, the beis din has a sphere of influence over the city. If you have other cities that are around, or the metropolitan area of the city with the beis din, and they don't have a beis din, the sphere of influence of the beis din continues to be felt in all those cities that are around the city with the beis din, and they become satellites of that main city. So therefore, even if it's the closest city would have been a city without a beis din, we still count to this closest city with a beis din, because we assume that even if he left from the city that's closest by, that is influenced by the city with the beis din, because that beis din has an influence, or their sphere of influence reaches those cities. And therefore, we measure to their city, even though they're not the closest city over here. All right, new Mishnah. Nimsa mekuvan ben shtei ayarot. What happens if the body is found exactly equidistant between two cities? Shteyem meviot shtei agalot divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer believes you bring two eglot arufot. Each city brings one. Ven Yushalayim mevia egla arufa. Yushalayim does not bring an egla arufa. We'll see that in the Gemara. Why? Nimsa rosho b'makom echad v'gufo b'makom echad. If his head is decapitated and his head and his body are found in different locations. Rabbi Eliezer says you move the head back to the body. Rabbi Kiva says no, you move the body to the head. From where do you measure? From the head or from the body? Rabbi Eliezer says you measure from the stomach, from the belly button. Rabbi Kiva from his nose. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov from the point where he was made into a chlau, and that is mitzavaro from his neck. So my time of the Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer believe when you have a body or that's found equidistant from two cities that each city brings an egla rufa? Kasavar Yeshua the Tamtain. Rabbi Eliezer believes that you can have exact measurements. You can reach an exactitude where you can have a body be exactly equidistant from two cities. If that's the case, it's not a suffix. Each city is closest to that. And therefore, Krovav, Filu Krovot, the closest city, even if there are multiple cities, we'd be considered over here. Whereas if you don't believe in the Tzamtzim, if you don't believe you can get to an exact measurement, then the reason we don't see, or the reason we think it's closer, is because we can't measure it perfectly. Had we been able to measure it perfectly, we would have found out which city is closest. So in that case, it'll be a safek. If it's a safek, they'll jointly bring a single egla rufa. Between them, they'll jointly bring it, and they'll make a tznai for who which city is going to bring it. So opposed to that, Rabbi Eliezer believes, that you can have exact measurement, and you can have two cities who are required to bring an egla rufa. Then Yerushalayim may be an egla rufa. Yerushalayim does not bring an egla rufa. Why? Because there's damakra l'rishta, that the pasuk by egla rufa says l'rishta. Because Yerushalayim lo nech l'tchalka l'shvatim. that Yerushalayim was not divided up to Shvatim. There's no Yerusha in Yerushalayim. Since there's no Yerusha in Yerushalayim, it does not qualify as a city for Egla Arufa. Now the Gemara continues. Nimtza Rosho b'makom echad. B'amai k'miflegei. What are they arguing about? If they're arguing about where to measure from, that's the latter half of the Mishnah. That's not what they're arguing about. So what's this head and goof argument about if they're not arguing about the measuring issue? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, b'meis mitzvah kana mekomo mekamiflegei. They're arguing about the din of meis mitzvah is kana mekomo. There's one of the, Yehoshua made 10 takanot when he came into the land of Eretz Yisrael. One of those is that a meis mitzvah, a person that's found in a place and nobody is no claimants for the body, the body is kona the makom and you bury them where they are found. So when we say meis mitzvah is kana mekomo, what is the meis mitzvah? Is it the head or is it the goof? And that's the machlokas over here. V'achei kama or the kovro to bury it kana mekomo, right? V'heicha dinimtza rosho b'makom echad v'gufo b'makom acher. We find his head in one place and his body in another place. Molichinia rosh it's the goof to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you take the head to where the body is because the body was kana mekomo. Rabbi Akiva Amir, a goof to la rosh, the other way around. You take the body to where the head is, because the head is the kone and makom. So my kamiflege, what's their machlokas between them? Ma'asavet de begufe beduchte nafil, the body is where he was killed. And resha de naidiv nafil, his head rolled away from the body, meaning that it was severed from, decapitated from the body, and it rolled away. Well, ma'asavet resha hecha de nafil nafil, when it was decapitated, the head fell in place. But Kuvahu the right visor, the body was in motion. And since the body was in motion, it kept going, even though the head fell in place. So the question is, where was the death? Where was he really killed? Was he really killed where his body is, or is he really killed where his head is? And that's Machlokes Zera Lezer Rabbi Akiva. And based on where he's killed, that's where he's kone makom. So we either have to bring the goof to the Rosh, right, or the Rosh to the goof, depending on which you think is the Ikar of where he was killed. And that's where it would be kone makom. So Rabbi Akiva believes the Rosh is the Ikar. So you bring everything to the Rosh, and Rabbi Lezer says, the goof is the Ikar, you bring everything to the goof. So, Mayin Hayu Modidin, where do they measure the Egla Rufa from? But my Kamiflegei, what's the Machlokas over here? Whether you measure from the nose, right, do you measure from the belly button, or do you measure from the neck over here? Or from the head, from the belly button, or the neck? So, my Kamiflegei, my Savar Ikar Chiyuta Ba'ape, that the major life force of a person is in his face and his nose. That the major life of a person is found in his innards, in his body, right, his organs, around his belly button. So lema kiani tonight. Let's say this is similar to another machlokas tanaim. That how is a body mehechan avlad notzar? How is a baby created? How is a fetus created? Mi rosho. That machlokas what? Machlokas whether he created from his head. It says in the pasuk, and Tehillim, "Mimei imi atagozi," from inside my stomach, "Mimei imi," from inside my stomach, atagozi, that you removed me, you pulled me out. Vomer, and it also says there. Now the Gemara is going to darshin over here. Vomer, gazi nizreich vashlichi, right? That you cut my hair, you pulled your hair out. He says you should rip your hair out and throw it away. So you see the term gazi refers to a head. So the Gemara is making a play on the word mimeiti, insisting mimeimi atagozi, that you removed me, but rather that mimeimi atagozi, that you made my head. You created my head. From inside the womb, you create the head first. So that's the lima that a person's created from the head first. Aba shomer mituboro, a person's created from his belly button. Umishaleach shorsho elach velach, and then he expands from there outward. So it's just like the machlokas over there about where the baby fetus is created from, either the head or the belly button. So too here we'll have a machlokas, right, about whether the ikar, a chiyuta of a person, is from his face, from his ape, his nose, or from his tiburo. So it says you don't have to say that. Right, why not? Afilu tema abasho. Alkan lo kamar abasho alin yitzira. That's when the vlad's created. When we're talking about creation of the fetus, that starts in the belly button. Chimitzar vlad mitziate mitzar. He's created from tibor, is mitziah, the middle of the body. Everybody agrees that the life force of a person, that's the ikar chiyuta, comes from his nose. Dichtiv kol asher nishmat ruach chaim be'apav. Right? And when Hashem goes to destroy, he destroys kol nishmat ruach chaim be'apav. What's the definition of a Ruach Chaim? Be'apav, in his nose. So everybody agrees that the major life force of an individual is Be'apav, and from there, that necessarily we can't necessarily correlate these two Machlokot Tanaim. All right, we'll just finish up to the, exactly. All right, let's just finish up to the Mishnah. So here's the third opinion that you measure from the neck. Right? So that is Kirichtiv Lateto Tach El Tzaverei Chalei Rishayim. So there in Yechezkel, Perichalaf, there the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving Yechezkel his credentials. He's telling the people that the Mikdash is going to destroy. They're going to get news that the Mikdash is destroyed. And over there he talks about Moab also. And there when he's talking about Moab, he says in the end, you Moab, with all that you've done now, in the end, that we're going to place right you with the tzavrei chalei arishayim. So what do you see? Halal, you see the correlation between halal and tzavar. That where is something, when is it considered a halal? That's from the tzavar, from the neck. So that's when it's considered a tzavar. So that's why he thinks the halal here by Egla Rufa is also tzavar, is also the neck, and therefore you would measure from the neck. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow with the new Mishnah. The new Mishnah has a lot of hashkofa about Egla Rufa, and we'll discuss a lot of the Shkofa of Egla Rufa tomorrow.